You are listening to Sherpa Shorts, a special presentation of the Youth Ministry Sherpas Podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
All right, and we're back for another special edition of the Youth Ministry Sherpas, Sherpa Shorts.
Yeah, back for the fourth, right?
Fourth edition of our Sherpa Shorts.
Here we go. Going through 26 letters of the alphabet in 26 days. Matthew, it's your turn today. What is your word for?
The letter D.
My word for the letter D is dating.
I'm sorry, I'm married.
No, I don't want to date you. I want to talk about how dating impacts our student ministry.
Oh my goodness. This is a subject I think is, it drives me nuts. I'm not a big proponent of couples dating in our youth ministry.
Neither am I.
I don't like it. I let the students know I don't like it.
Why don't you like it?
I don't like it because this is what my experience has been. Of all the couples we've had in the youth ministry over my 18 years at this church, there's only been, I think, two that actually ended up together and got married. And one of those didn't start dating until after high school. And the other, I think it was their senior year.
Okay.
All the other couples, and there have been many over the years, right?
Many, many, many.
They all ended up breaking up, and some of those breakups went very poorly.
Sure. And so high school breakups go.
Absolutely. And middle school, even worse. And so what happens is they get very uncomfortable. Things get very awkward. Maybe one of them will stop coming, or the friend groups will be at war with each other, and
turf wars in youth group.
Yes, I don't like it. I let the kids know.
So you say that. I'm curious. I want to dive into this. You said you let them know. How do you go about letting them know of your disdain for the idea of them dating while in youth group?
Whenever we teach on the subject, dating or purity or anything like that, I always talk about it then.
Yep.
And I have gotten better at this over the years. If a couple is forming in the youth ministry, you have two core kids, you know, two kids who are around all the time.
Yeah.
I'll have a conversation with them and just let them know, look, I know you guys are dating and that's fine. I obviously can't stop you from dating and it's not my place to. But I want you to promise me something, that whatever happens, for good or worse, when this relationship progresses, that you will not let anything come between you and your participation in this youth ministry or cause conflict and drama within the youth ministry.
Mm.
Does that sound cold? Because no, it's probably cold.
I don't think, I think it would be cold, Steve, if you were having that conversation with sort of a new couple of kids who maybe are new to your ministry.
Oh, yeah, that's a different conversation.
You're talking about having a conversation with students that you have a relationship with.
Growing up in the church together, and now they're dating.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So, no, I don't think that's cold. I think that's wise. I'm with you. I'm not a big fan. I will talk about it whenever I have the opportunity. Again, mm-hmm. You know, when you do the annual dating or purity, you know, thing, that it seems like it's a rule in youth ministry that you got to talk about dating and purity at least once a year, once every other year. Definitely talk about it there. And,
right.
And yeah, I would also be prone to have those conversations with the students. I like to ask them questions. I like to, you know, and again, this comes a little bit more from my parenting, you know, style.
Well, now we're the dads. We can ask whatever questions we want.
Exactly, because it's legit to ask questions about why. What's mm-hmm. what's going to change? Why different? You know, are you thinking about what might happen if it doesn't work out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to ask the question, are you comfortable if you're friends with this person, are you mm-hmm. comfortable losing them? Is dating them worth the risk of maybe not being friends with them if it doesn't work out? Which seems like I asked that question. And
what do you mean it's not going to work out?
Eyes glaze over. I think they just believe.
Of course it's going to work out. We were made for each other, Matthew. We were made for each other. We are soulmates.
Sounds like you've heard a few responses.
I've heard the soulmate thing a couple of times, and it just cracks me up because the relationship lasted like 2 months.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, for me, and there's nothing to do about this. Let me just, as long as we have the microphone, a chance to vent a little bit. The thing that bothers me the most is when parents are all about it.
Mm,
you know, again, if two 14-year-olds think that they're soulmates and that everything is going to work out for the better, and then there's nothing wrong that could happen here, like, I get that. Like, they're 14. They don't know what they don't know.
Yes.
But when, like, a parent is like, this is the greatest thing ever, I think, what were you drinking earlier today?
I know.
If you think that, because man, this is just a tough time for it, and I just feel like there are way more ways for it to go wrong.
Do you have experience with this?
Than there are for it to go right.
Your parents actually yes. know all about it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How did that end for you?
About exactly how I expected it to, and mm-hmm. again, then you're in this then you're in this awkward situation as a youth worker where the right thing is to support both the kids who are devastated and the parent who is devastated, because that's your job when all you want to do is say, I told you so. But you can't. You can't. I mean, you could.
I know.
It just wouldn't be very pastoral. It wouldn't be very youth leader-like, because there are real emotions that are involved there. And these are kids we care about. And so even though we told them it would happen and then it happened, we still need to be there for them.
This exact thing happened a few years ago. We had two of our student leaders, deeply involved kids. They started to date, and it was actually interesting because one of the families was really cautious and the other was very enthusiastic. The enthusiasm came because they met in high school and got married, and so that was their story that they thought might play out with their own kid. But everybody else, like all the youth volunteers, we all knew that this probably wasn't going to work. And we knew for sure, I knew for sure, the second week. They had been dating a week. And they came to the youth group on Sunday night. And about halfway through, like, you know, into our hangout time, a couple kids came to me and they said, hey, so-and-so and so-and-so aren't here. We think they're wandering around the church property.
Ruh-roh, Rastro.
Like, okay, this isn't good. So we're calling them on their cell phones. They're not picking up. It turns out there was a third student with them, and they were out taking their relationship pictures.
Got to make it Facebook official.
To make it Facebook official.
Probably Instagram official
and,
now.
Yeah, and so they come back in, and we're just like, what are you thinking? If you are skipping out of youth group the second week of your relationship, this is not going to go well in the future. You clearly are going to cross the boundaries of propriety here in the not too distant future. We saw it coming. So I have an evil confession.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
I sat down with my middle school guy, Patrick, and we wrote down dates.
You had a breakup pool?
We had a breakup pool.
Steve, you're an evil human being.
I know.
Why didn't you call me to let me in?
And sure enough, it happened, and it didn't end well, and just added fuel to my fire about why nobody should date while they're in the youth group in high school.
Well, of course, the question that now is out there for all of our listeners is, who won the pool?
Honestly, I don't remember. We were both overjoyed that,
that it happened. Yeah.
So
it's a tough thing. Again, I think we have an opportunity to be a voice of reason in that. Mm-hmm. Especially with students that we have sort of that connection and that relationship with, who trust us and trust that we're out for their best. But I think at the same time, we have to be ready for the fact that we may tell a kid who trusts us and likes us and believes in what we have to say that they're going to just turn around and do it anyway.
Sure.
And then we're going to have to play a different role in their life. And that's going to be the role of picking up the pieces and helping them put things back together and go. Or on the off chance, maybe we'll officiate that way.
Maybe.
But probably it's going to be more picking up the pieces.
I've done two of those weddings, and I've done a lot more breakups.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think one of the things just to remember is it really is about caring for the students involved.
Absolutely.
I sound pretty cold because I care more about my youth group than I care about the actual... I don't want to mess up my youth ministry vibe, but... Yeah, you got to care for the kids too, because
absolutely.
If they do go through the breakup, it's traumatic. Most of us have experienced that.
those emotions are real.
Yeah, they're real, and they genuinely have feelings for each other, and it's hard when those come to a crashing conclusion.
Yeah.
But,
All right. Well, we may not like it, but it's going to be reality in our student ministries, so we got to be ready to help speak truth and pick up pieces.
Yep, that's right.
All right. Well, that's it for today. Back tomorrow with another special edition, Sherpa Shorts.
Sherpa Shorts.
Peace.